bone, stone, and artifact, uncover what lies beneath. Welcome to the BSA Podcast, Episode 3. How are you doing, Stephanie?
Pretty good. How are you?
Well, thank you. Tonight, we are talking about cannabis.
Woo!
The cannabis industry and what's going on with cannabis in the Sacramento area. Because this is a huge topic right now. Would you agree with that statement?
Totally. I mean, California loves its weed. It's embedded in Californian culture, and right now we've seen a boom in the weed industry and the availability in the city of Sacramento.
Yes, what's happened in the last couple of years is the city of Sacramento has legalized cannabis and has begun regulating it and has started a process where operators that were, you know, running their business sort of under the radar had a chance to register with the city and go through the permitting process to legally open up their business and to, you know, become legitimate and become part of the community, but in a much more open fashion, you know, for the public. They don't have to try to hide under the radar and try to be low key, you know, because before it was technically, you know, not allowed. But this is how these people were making their living, right? So this has been going on since 2016, 2017. But before that, the years prior, it was the dispensaries. They also went through a permitting process sort of before that. But the last couple of years has been the real big mainstream permitting of all types of cannabis uses now for recreational as well.
Right. It used to be only medical, and now the city of Sacramento and the surrounding areas have had a boom in what is the accessibility and the number of dispensaries that there is. How many would you think, or how many would you know that there is dispensaries in Sacramento alone?
So in the city of Sacramento city limits, I believe it's 31 dispensaries, but that is only the retail sale locations. Now there are dozens, maybe 100 or more businesses that do delivery of cannabis to customers, and they don't have a storefront location, so they operate, you know, in a lot of times industrial areas, and you know they fill orders and deliver them to people instead of having an open retail location, because those are very hard to get the licenses for, because there's only 31 of them, and I believe that, you know, there's an ongoing waiting list. Want to open up one, but they can't because they're all filled. And a lot of those that were operating a long time ago had the opportunity to be first come, first serve, you know, to get on the list of those original 31. So anyone that wanted to operate a storefront location now, they would have to wait until a license becomes available because there's a limited number that you can have.
So they have a cap then?
Well, yeah, there's a cap on that, and then in a certain area, the southeast industrial area of the city, there's a cap on the square footage of cannabis production, which includes cultivation facilities, manufacturing, and distribution facilities. And that is 2.5 million square feet is the maximum allowed in that area. They did that because they wanted to limit an oversaturation of cannabis businesses in that area, because they were displacing a lot of business. So it was raising a lot of values of rents, and so a lot of these landlords were evicting a lot of other tenants to allow these cannabis businesses to come in that would pay higher rent. So that's been a real big issue. So you have a lot of smaller businesses that can't afford to pay such high rents, and they wanna, you know, they want their location, they wanna be there, but they can't afford it, and they get kicked out and they have to find a new location.
It must be expensive to get a rental on a space that would allow you to sell weed. So what's the benefits of the city allowing all these recreational weed dispensaries in the city? Like, how does that benefit the city?
Well, it's a source of sales tax revenue. It's a popular alternative for many people, right? So it's a very popular alternative for many people. It's in high demand. Kind of also, it shows the progressiveness of the city, right? And there's a lot of, I think, businesses out there and people that are looking for that kind of progressiveness, and I feel like it kind of creates sort of that draw. People, if the city is allowing things and doing things that are kind of cutting edge or, sort of in demand and different, that could, that could create a draw. And I think that's a lot of what Sacramento's sort of about is, trying to be, number one, trying to grow, trying to be successful, trying to develop that economic drive, trying to bring more big business in. And I think that's one key part of it.
Yeah, no, they definitely have impact on the business development in the city and employment and all that kind of stuff. There's so many delivery services nowadays for all kinds of stuff, but I've seen a lot for the cannabis places. You can literally just order, just like you would order your food, your burritos, or your, your late night snacks. You can get your weed to your door. So pretty much you just get an app and you get your stuff right away, and it's super convenient. Yeah, so the city of Sacramento and the people that live in it and the surrounding cities have really embraced this new way of living, and I think it's gonna make a lot of difference in the future now that it's not incriminating to say that you smoke weed or that you use it or that you buy it. You can easily just get an app and have it delivered to your door, and I think that's pretty cool that people are starting to open up to new things that can benefit the community and the city. I know that it's not always the case that people embrace and accept these new initiatives. We've seen it many times in community meetings where people complain about the number vastness of cannabis businesses in the area. Some people don't like it at all.
How do you think the atmosphere is changing as to how people think about cannabis now? Do you people are starting to embrace it more, get used to the idea, and it's more out in the open there, and it's, you're seeing that advertising and you see it in the news a lot. Do you think people's perceptions are changing?
Totally. I mean, you can see it. You can see it in culture. You can see it in movies. You can see it on the street. You can see it on how people talk when they talk about weed. They're so much more open to saying and admitting that they use it. It's not seen as a drug anymore. I feel like it's seen as more of a special substance, if you will. And I think it's been changing a lot in the past 10, 20 years.
Yeah. It's funny. I feel like you can tell there's people that are more old school when they grew up and they were told how bad it was versus the younger generation growing up not being told that it's bad, right? And being told that it's helpful and it, can treat you for medicinal purposes or for recreational purposes, and that, it's not necessarily evil. It's not like this real bad drug that's gonna bring all these bad things are gonna happen to you if you do that. You're gonna be a stoner and a loser. And the reality is people are realizing that it's not necessarily the case. I feel like maybe there's like a few people out there that maybe by smoking they don't do anything and they get stoned and maybe they don't accomplish anything or whatever and they're lazy and don't do much. However, I think the majority of people that do it don't really fall into that category. I think that's starting to become more well known the more people are opening their eyes to it and not just kind of seeing tunnel vision. But I still run into those people that when cannabis comes up in topic of conversation, you can tell that they just don't believe in it, don't think it's good, think that it's bad for you. And it's not healthy for society.
Yeah, it's that point of view that it has the negative connotation. Now that it's changing, it's been known for a few decades that it's good to use for people that are really sick. It's good for use for people that have all sorts of problems. The fact that now we're seeing it in our community, the expansion of all these businesses like we've been talking about, that's a sign that it's going to continue to be even more acceptable in the future.
I think the next biggest thing, well, there's a couple of big things that are still ahead, even though there's been big things happening, is seeing in the next couple of years if other jurisdictions in the area may change their laws to allow it. Because currently a lot of them don't still. And I think they're waiting to see what happens, you know, sort of with permitting these types of uses, you know, and legalizing them. Because they still exist. I mean, and there's still cannabis existing in these other communities, but it's just not legal
right.
by definition. So, and I'm sure after they see how things go with all these different cities that do allow it, maybe we'll start seeing some changes there too, which would be interesting because you want to see, you know, you have these cities that are testing it out. The data is still really not known yet, like what the long-term impacts will be if they're, mm-hmm. you know, and what those will be. So.
Yeah, and we won't know it until later on. So now that a lot of cities and a lot of places are getting on board, like you're saying, it'll probably help to gather more data and information so down the line we can know what's yeah. going to happen. Really, really interesting. I mean, a lot of people tend to compare cannabis to alcohol. You know, back in the day with alcohol, it was the same point of view. Some people thought it was really evil. There was the prohibition era. It was a big deal. People had to hide to drink.
And make
moonshine and all these kinds of like underground secret potions just to get drunk. And now it's so socially acceptable to just have a drink,
yeah.
you know?
It's everywhere.
It's crazy to think that it used to be like that. So would that happen to weed, you know, in 50, 100 years? What's going to become of weed in the future? And will other substances also get on the same path?
Well, I can tell you for one thing that the idea and the conversation of having weed lounges, the same as a bar, but, you know, a place where you can smoke and socialize or whatever, that's happening now. Those conversations are happening. And how they're going to be able to do that, if they can or if it's a good idea.
Is that in the area here in Sacramento?
Well, I will say that it's definitely a topic of conversation in Sacramento. But there's been nothing brought forward, ordinance or anything like that. But
oh, yeah. I
know it's something that they're evaluating.
Oh, totally. Imagine. I mean, I know that people would probably get on the list to do that. I mean,
yeah.
It's a big business.
Yeah, and you're right. It's literally, if you have a progressive view about it, it's going to be no different than a bar.
Right.
And their bars are everywhere.
And right? imagine, I'm just saying, going to a place where you can smoke weed and then you have food and you have delicious drinks, right? If you get the munchies or if you get thirsty, it might be a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, you try to imagine it, right? So I imagine, you know, maybe there's double doors, like you go through an area that sort of like keeps the air separated so that you're not getting all those
fumes
going out the door. You walk
secondhand
through that
smoke.
Yeah, and then, you know, maybe there's all these different tables and chairs, and then there's a bar, right, where maybe you can sit up at the bar and there's like a glass case with all the different like strains that you can choose out or
yeah.
or whatever it may be, and then, you know, you order from the weed tender. And maybe they have a food selection.
They call them bud tenders.
Yeah, bud tenders. Yeah, that's right. In the retail locations. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I can see it happening.
It just has to be policy,
yeah.
ordinances, all these kind of legal stuff that has to happen and has to be defined before we can even think about having people start businesses like that. But it's definitely going to be something that will happen in the future.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, right now, I think that we've been seeing good progress so far, and there's a lot of good things happening. There's a lot of businesses coming online. I think it's been real good for the city. I mean, it creates jobs also.
Yeah, it definitely does.
One thing I want to talk about is how you're going to see the conglomeration of businesses. Think about this. It's going to be relatable for alcohol. For think about breweries. When they first started making beer, you know, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s? They started as small businesses, small breweries, right?
A small operation.
Over time, it grew, and then you had businesses that would buy up others and buy up others
yeah.
and buy up others. And then now,
they grew massively.
So today and in the 90s, you had these huge conglomerates, And they were called like Miller Coors, you know, like InBev. They own just like 100 brands or like very like a ton of brands all together under one conglomerate. And
not that long ago, Corona got acquired by, I think it was Miller or something.
Yeah, Miller Coors.
Yeah, I think.
Or Molson Coors.
One of the American brands.
Yeah, yeah. And that continues to happen. But interestingly, what's happened lately is that you've had this trend of craft breweries opening up and becoming real popular, and that's been eating into the market share of these big ones, because you have this whole generation of people that think that investing in big corporate is bad.
Right. We like small operations.
Right.
We like
locally owned.
Right. Farm to fork,
organic.
You know, organic, small batch, everything specially crafted for me kind of thing. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with these cannabis businesses, because right now the city is seeing a bunch of small operations, real small operations, little craft operations, and everyone's thinking that, well, what's going to happen is that they're going to start buying up each other and coming into these big conglomerates. Then you're going to have a big weed conglomerate.
You're going to have a mac weed?
Yeah, and so then the market's going to be controlled by these couple big brands. And then what's going to happen, just like we saw with alcohol, there's going to be the guys that go, I'm going to start making small batch, right? Craft cannabis businesses again. So I feel like that's sort of the trend that we've seen with alcohol. And I wonder if we're going to see the same thing with cannabis as
well. Oh, yeah. It will definitely happen, because there's always like waves. You know, that it fluctuates. We want the thing that everybody has, and then we want what nobody has. And then it's just a trend of things that are attractive for the consumers. Can we talk about Mike Tyson's weed smoking adventure park?
Yeah, tell me about that.
This is happening somewhere in Nevada, where weed is also legal. Mike Tyson has bought a huge ass piece of land, and he is planning to have what he calls a weed ranch. It's a big establishment where you can go stay at. You can smoke weed and do different activities. So it's pretty much catering to potheads.
Bone, stone, and artifact. Uncover what lies beneath.
We're pulling up the article now.
This is an amazing idea being pioneered by this guy.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Tyson, you know, he knows what he's talking about.
So essentially, sort of what they're doing is combining what everyone loves, right? A vacation resort plus a weed business or cultivation and manufacturing area where you get to kind of be a part of it, right? So this is great for all those cannabis connoisseurs. So it says here, so he's planning on building a 40-acre resort on desert land in California City. So this is down in Southern California. And this is the type of stuff that you're seeing now that cannabis is becoming legal. People are just coming up with these interesting ideas. It's also going to include facilities for providing education. It's going to provide for research. Wow.
So pretty much people are going to go to this place to do what they call glamping, which is you're going to stay out in the Mojave Desert, you know, to smoke weed. You can do different kinds of activities. It's still in the works, but it's something that is, looks like it's going to happen. I think it's currently under construction. And we'll see. I mean, this is new in California.
California leading the way, right?
So, always. So, expect this to be a new trend. These kinds of places where people can go and just get away and have this special rendezvous.
Yeah. What, any other topics that we have to talk about regarding cannabis?
Remember we said we were going to talk about something. Oh, so we've been getting really into YouTube exploration and trying
YouTube rabbit hole.
Yeah, and we recently found the trend of crapping on people's hometowns on YouTube by making videos about why not to move to those places.
Yeah.
We came across a video by this guy named Briggs, and
Briggs knows everything or something like that.
Yeah. this person was enlisting, I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, this guy makes videos basically giving 10 reasons why you shouldn't move there. and he doesn't even live in these areas. So I think that's pretty hypocritical to talk about a place that they shouldn't move to when you don't even live there yourself. So I just want to give you a shout out and say that I think that
you don't know Sacramento.
Yeah, I don't think you necessarily know what you're talking about. So have fun, do your thing, but I won't be listening.
Yep. But that's it, guys. We're trying to get more time to do more episodes. If anybody likes it, please give us a shout out in the social media. We out there, and we appreciate you listening.
Yeah, our podcast is getting better. It's evolving.
Yeah.
But our main message is just to tell you about interesting things that are going on in this area.
Yeah.
If you live here, or if you don't, you know, and you're still interested, maybe you're thinking about moving here, or you're just curious about what's going on in Northern California, this is a place to get that info. So
yeah, totally.
Look for our next episode next week. Brand new episode. It's going to be a good one for sure. So until then, thanks for listening to the BSA podcast. We appreciate you, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.